This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
We're not sitting on the couch anymore.
No, we're not.
Lynn, thank you for coming and doing this.
I am like, so excited to be here.
It's been, I think, 5 years since our last episode together.
Our first one.
Yeah, our one and only episode that we've done together. And to see where life has taken both of us since then. We made it through the pandemic.
We made it.
We've found what we really want to do, like found ourselves, you know, and like the styles, like me doing the Rage Rowdy thing, you doing the rocking thing, and it's fucking cool. You're on the fucking radio, girl.
I know, it's so crazy.
Like, what the fuck?
We've come so far.
Yeah.
We've grown up.
We really have. It's crazy because I remember the first round that I ever went to in town, I was visiting. It was like a month before I moved. It was September 2018. It was you. It was Dave Hengley. And it was Greg Pratt. And Rylan was on stage with you guys.
Oh, my God. The OG crew.
At Frisky Frogs.
Oh, my goodness.
Before Live Oak. When they had that little dingy couch in the front. And you could get in there with a Pokemon card style fake ID. Yeah.
That's so funny. That was so long ago.
That was my first taste of like a writer's Nashville. Round in Nashville. Then I moved here like a month later. And so to see your growth, the evolution of you as an artist, as a person, just
crazy.
So fucking cool.
I know. I'm so glad that like that was, you know, I feel like the Nashville Writers Round thing is kind of what gets you started here in town. And like that's how you meet everyone. And I'm so glad that we got to meet there and then continue on. And, you know, we've done a couple of podcasts and obviously just been around town and hung out, and I'm just so glad that we got to this point that we can be like, holy cow.
Yeah. So how would you describe your life here lately? Because I feel like the last year, but even like the last couple months or even the last month, it's just been nuts.
It's been crazy. I guess like in one word, it's just been a dream.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. Like you work and you write and you do these things and you hope that it pays off and to finally feel and see it pay off. And it's just been so crazy.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
Yeah. And it's like there's so many different like facets to you and your upbringing and where you come from with small town life, and that equates to the country world, but small town folks like to rock too.
Oh my gosh. And people don't realize.
No, they don't.
It's just crazy. There's such a community of both genres, which is really cool.
Yeah. And it's like you've gotten to showcase both of those, and now you're getting to showcase, like, you're still singing about small towns. You're still selling, you're still telling stories and still doing your thing, but it's with an edge.
With an edge. That
I felt like you always had in you, but you were figuring out the right way to get it out.
Right. And that's just writing and exploring and creating art and just creating without boundaries, I guess, is kind of a good way to put it. And I feel like until I stopped being like, oh, it has to sound like this, that's when I really found my sound and what I wanted to talk about and be able to talk about mental health in a country rock song and continue to just spread awareness of like other people's struggles and my own and really hone in on who I wanted to be as an artist, I guess.
Yeah. And it's, I remember when you were first teasing Six Feet Deep and you were first teasing those songs and you were like, they were like, who grew up liking Nickelback? Who grew up this, that? And like the way that you were getting out that content and then seeing that pivot, what kind of went into the pivot and really finding yourself as Royal, not just Royal Lynn, but Royal fucking Lynn? Like, seriously. Like,
thank you. I think that it was, I was just kind of exploring sounds and lyrics and writing just something that was so authentic. And that's kind of how we stumbled upon 6 Feet and kind of pushing the boundaries and the walls and kicking right through them and just being like, I know I'm supposed to sound like this if I do this genre.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough for me and I wasn't feeling like fulfilled. And I love writing country for other people. But when I stepped on a stage, I just was like, I love my songs, but I don't. Artist wise, I was like, I want to rock. Yeah. And coming from such a background, you know, like obviously I did grow up on Nickelback, that is more in that lane. And then, but I also grew up on the metal side of things too. Yeah. And like A Day to Remember is one of my favorite bands and it has been since I was a kid. And I was just like, what if we could do both? So we started, you know, getting in rooms with different track guys who knew the rock scene as well. And I was just like, this is where I want to go. How do we get there? And not stopping until we kind of found a sound. Now, 6 Feet was the car that got us to where we are right now, which is so crazy because when I was teasing it, we kind of had no idea. I teased the demo.
Yeah.
In the original video, which is so crazy. And it went viral overnight. And I was like, holy cow, we have something special. So we cut that in the studio in a week and put it out. And I was like, we need to get on this. Like, it's
just
rolling.
A rush.
Yeah, I was like, it's rolling. We got to get on it. And from then, it went viral again. And the second time it went viral, it went like mega viral, in my opinion. 20 million views or something crazy like that. And I was like, we have something so special here. And that's when I think other people started to realize that we had something special. Yeah. So yeah, it's just been a crazy journey ever since then. And we had a number one on the Billboard Hard Rock digital sales charts, which is all the fans.
Yes.
That's the fans buying the music because they love it. And that was such a special thing for me to just be like, we did this independently. And that's when everybody was like, how the fuck, can I swear? I'm sorry.
Yeah, oh, you can say whatever. Okay. Yeah, oh yeah.
They're like, how the fuck did you get here? And I'm like, I don't know, the fans like brought me here. So it really just goes to show that like hard work does pay off. And if you build a real fan base, they will support you.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for listening to the fans over listening to what folks are saying in town too.
Absolutely, you have to separate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's value in both.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the fans are the ones streaming your songs. They're the ones following you on the platform. So the ones buying tickets, buying your merchandise. Yes. Like, they're the one, they're the machine that's going to take you from being something that's here in Nashville or regionally in Canada to the entire world, especially in the rock space, because country's one thing, but the rock world, there's some similarities, but it's another beast.
It's another beast. But you know what? I think that you kind of land where you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I grew up in the country in the middle of nowhere. We had horses my entire life.
Yeah, oh, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, like my mom has had horses. I literally grew up in a barn in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I would never trade it. But, you know, they used to go to the Radio Shack and order me CDs that I really wanted because our Radio Shack didn't really get a lot of CDs in. So you had to go and order them. And I would be like, hey, I really need, you know, Homesick by A Day to Remember. I need Bullet in a Bible by Green Day. Like all of these amazing, amazing bands. And like System of the Down, I remember when I got my first System of the Down CD, and
that's a life-changing moment.
Oh, I was like, holy cow, the beast has been awoken. Yeah. And that's kind of when I fell in love with it, was just like sitting alone in our farmhouse because my mom wasn't able to drive me everywhere. And when you live on a farm, you know, like you are kind of secluded out there.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, as a kid. So I would have my karaoke machine and I'd be singing all of the songs and listening to my CD Walkman. And it's just been, you know, I wouldn't trade it. But my family, my mom and my dad, like allowed me to get into that music.
Yeah. What'd they think of the pivot?
Now or like when I was 10 years old being like, I love these bands.
Well, when you're 10 years old loving those bands, I think that having that moment when you're younger and they're buying you the CDs, it makes more sense to see you on stage. Like we saw you last time I saw you full band was the Lakeview show.
Oh yeah, at the end. Oh my gosh.
And it was
so fun.
Yeah, and you guys fucking killed it.
Thank you.
And I remember looking about your dad and him looking so fucking proud. But the change from singing like Wyoming wearing the cowboy hat.
Right.
Like,
yes.
I
love my cowboy hat.
I know you do. I'm sure you still wear it. Like it's always gonna be with you. It's always in you. But then to be on stage rocking the corset, being the bad bitch, just rocking it.
Right.
Like such a 180. What was that like with telling your family, like, I'm going to go this direction?
I think that they kind of like could see it coming because I was just like feeling not myself yet as an artist until I started really digging into these heavier tracks. And I just was like, I want to listen to my own music. And that's kind of where it stems from, is like, even when we're making merch, I'm like, if I won't wear it, we're not putting it out. Like I want everything to be so authentic and who I am.
Yeah.
So that was the first show that they've ever gotten to see since I was a kid.
Wow.
Yeah. So that it was cool for them to come down and I couldn't even see them because the lights. If you've ever been on stage, you know it's really hard to see.
It's the end, you know. Yeah. It's that.
I love that venue.
That room. It's something. It's the hardest room to get a beer in.
Yes.
You can't get a liquor drink. Yeah. You got to make sure you get your card back because they got your card with the receipt and a stack of receipts and cards.
That's true. And for Lakeview to even ask me to be a part of that, I was just like truly honored. And those are my boys. And I was like, I felt like that show was just the start of what was to come. And that was before anything was going on. We just had 6 feet out into the world and we hadn't even had, you know, the Billboard number one yet. So it was one of those moments where I was like, this is cool that my parents get to see this too. Cause like I said, they haven't been to a show since like I was a kid. So for that to be their first one, I was like, hell yeah, let's go out and do this.
Yeah. And I feel like Lakeview's in a similar position to you where they were kind of marketing more towards the countryside of things and then took a look in the mirror and saw the tattoos, saw their history of playing Fox's Pizza Den and what they were doing back home in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's just fucking do it our way. Let's put out shit that we want to listen to too.
For sure.
And it's cool that you guys are both doing that at the same kind of time, like having this aha moment over the last year.
I support them through and through. From the day that I met them was just like, these guys are the coolest dudes I've ever met. And to be able to now hang and just, we write a lot of songs together, which is awesome. So it's just been like so great. And having Luke, half of Lakeview also wrote 6 Feet Deep with me.
Yeah.
So Luke Haley, he wrote 6 Feet with me and Cody. And I'm just like, it's so cool that we get to kind of like take all of our minds and create such art that's so different than what you hear kind of on country radio.
And it's out of Nashville, which is what people are a little like around the country and in the rock world. They're probably like, wait, what's going on in Nashville?
The
there's rock music in Nashville. There's so many bands that have moved here that are based out of here.
Yeah.
There's bands that record in this building that we're in right now.
Right.
You know, like there's this. Obviously, country's going to be king in Nashville, Tennessee, and in the South, but rock is here, and
rock
it's
is here.
Making a lot of noise.
And it's here to stay.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would agree with that 100%.
Absolutely.
The Nashville rock scene is something a lot of people don't talk about, but it's there, and it's very active, and there's people supporting that scene, and there's girls like yourself, guys like the Lakeview Boys that are fucking doing it.
That are talented
and
doing it, and that's like... They just work so hard too, and they go on the road and they do the thing, and it's just, it's great to have a community that understands, like, you know, hard work and paying your dues and just getting out there and meeting the fans, and like, it's just, it's really cool to be able to be on this journey, especially with them.
Yeah, and it's like you get to have a crew that's like your country crew, like
we're
gonna
family.
Write a country song, and now you have like your rock crew, and you get to have them both in the same place.
Yes, it's so cool. One day you can be writing a really country song, and the next day you're writing a rock song. You're like, I love this life.
Do you ever start to write it one way, and then it's like that idea would be better the other way, or do you kind of go in with the mindset of like, I'm writing country today, I'm writing rock today, depending on what room you're going in?
For myself, when I'm writing for my projects, I kind of always have the rock leaning side.
Yeah.
As soon as I walk in, I'm like, all right, let's just like heavy, let's do it.
Yeah.
But when I go in for write for someone else, I always evaluate where they've been and where they're going. And I sit down as not an artist. I sit down as a songwriter at that point.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the fun of it, is like, I do have country ideas that I wouldn't bring into some rights on the rock side. Cause like some ideas are meant to be country songs and some ideas are meant to be rock songs. And there's nothing wrong with either of them. It's just like where you put them essentially on the idea scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That is such a cool thing. So you've been in the U.S. now. Are we official on?
Yep. So I'm on my O-1.
You're on your O-1.
Yep.
Let's go. Because I remember that visa process.
When I was, on my P-2.
Yeah.
Which is probably around the time that we met. When did you move to town?
2018. October of 2018.
2018. So I was just able to live here on my first P-2 visa, which is exciting.
And
so now we're one up from there, which is an O-1. So
how long does that process
go for? Well, 3 years for your O-1, and then you can go to a green card or you can do another O-1. It just depends on your situation. But so I'm excited to be here and, you know, I wake up every day very grateful that I get to live here.
Because COVID was weird because you couldn't, was it that you couldn't go home or that you went home and you couldn't come back?
Yeah, so
it was one of those two, right?
They closed the border.
Yes.
So that's what kind of got weird and no one knew what was kind of going on. So I had lived alone at that point, and I remember just being like, I don't know if it's best to like be locked down here by myself or if I should just go home and hang with my family.
Yeah.
Because at that point, like that was 2020, and I hadn't really like gotten time with my family because I had been playing shows or touring or, you know, just out doing life. So like, honestly, I got 2 months with my grandparents. And it was like the most special time. We ate dinner at like 5 o'clock every single day, which is fine.
Yes.
Yeah. I no longer do that. But like, it's like those moments that you'll never get back. So even though like I went over there and then they closed the border and I was like, oh, I don't know if I can get back in. Like, and when they closed the border, like you obviously cannot move freely between countries. So I was like, well, I'll just hang here with family. And like, I would never trade those few months with them for anything because it was so amazing. Then I 2 months later got back in here and I actually started doing live shows on Facebook.
I think I remember watching
this. To be able to pay my rent, because at that point like I was just playing shows to be able to make a living.
And you were playing a lot of shows downtown.
Yeah,
you
before that.
You are a downtown survivor.
I am a survivor.
You were
I made it out.
You were hustling as much as anybody down there with your gigs, your weekly gigs that you had.
But I kind of like in hindsight, like what an amazing tool to grow and to hone in your craft. And I tell everyone who's like freshly moved to town, I'm always like, go down and play on Broadway because you will learn to play to no one. You'll learn to play to rooms full of people who want to hear certain songs. Like you get all kinds of kinds who have become fans like over the years of playing down there.
Yeah.
And I really think that playing down there is it's one of the things that you cannot do that anywhere else.
No, there's no other place in the world where there's that many people and that much music going all the time.
All the time. And being able to play. So I used to play 11 a.m. till 2 p.m.
I remember that. Was that at Luke's?
So I was at Luke's for a little while and then I went over to Ole Red.
It was Ole Red. That was the gig. Okay.
So 2018 till 2020, I was playing acoustic with like Hunter Girl.
Yep.
And like all these amazing people who are like fantastic artists and like doing something now. And it's so amazing to watch like a family. You used to be able to get Hunter and I and we'd play your wedding.
Oh, wow.
Which is so funny. Whoa. Not a lot of people know that. And we did like a girl duo situation with harmonies and it was so much fun. Yeah. So it was so fun to do that with her. And then 2020 hit and I was like, you know what? Like, I really want to get my band together and I really want to just start getting in the groove of like full band, which like over my lifespan, like I've played a lot of full band gigs, but going from like acoustic downtown to full band, like I kind of had to relearn a few things just because like acoustic, anything kind of slides, you can kind of make up as you go. It's a little more lenient than playing with a full band who knows exactly how the songs are from the record. And that's when I called up my bass player who's still with me. And I was like, hey, I'm trying to put this band together. I know it's 2020, but as soon as we're allowed to play shows again, like I want to be out of the gate playing shows at Ole Red. And yeah, we had a residency once a month. We'd play two back-to-back shows, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it was like so incredible. And I did that for probably till 2022. And I stopped doing acoustic and I was only with the band. And then we started traveling. I think it was summer of 2022 is when we started hitting the road really hard. So last year. And that's when I was like, I'm really sorry. And I love Ole Red. I loved, you know, how they support their artists and they treat everyone so well there. And it's just such a great place to play. So if here for anyone listening out there, like that is the place that you want to go and play. And they're incredible and they're, you know, owned by the Opry and like Blake Shelton's involved and it's just an amazing company.
That's one of the few bars down there that if I have like my family that's like on the older side visiting, I'll take them to that bar because it's a respectable spot where you can get a little bit of everything and there's still the craziness and you're still gonna have your Broadway issues pop up. but it's not but like it's some not of the other as, bars.
Yeah. Late night, I think it does kind of, they take away the tables, but during the day you can go and sit, and it's honestly a great place. The talented people who play there, like
the stage that they have there, the production, it's as good as anything out there.
Absolutely. It was such a cool way to learn with my band, especially being like, you know, with in-ears and doing the whole thing. And it just was awesome. I had a really good experience at Old Red.
Yeah. What did the band think about switching over to the rock stuff?
They love it.
That's the thing. A lot of people don't know Nashville band guys historically come from the rock world.
They do.
So any opportunity that they have to rock out and really start ripping, they usually 9 times out of 10 grin ear to ear.
They loved
the pivot.
It's been really fun. And figuring out who wants to go that direction too. Like some people are like, hey, I really like what you're doing. So like I'm always kind of open to the idea. I've got like my guys pretty set now.
That's good, yeah.
But like even downtown, like we play a lot of rock songs that were requested.
Yeah.
So I like knew that it was kind of in the air down there. And like everybody loves like Fall Out Boy. You play a Fall Out Boy song downtown, people go crazy. Like the elder emos. Yeah. And that's kind of why I have figured out that if I make a sound that's authentic to me and talk about things that are authentic to me, people will relate.
Yeah.
And knowing that people can be metalheads that are from the country and vice versa, and like there's no competition. It just is what it is. So like I invite all kinds of kinds to come to our shows, because you can be from the country, and if you like a little bit of metal, but like maybe not a lot, but you like to dabble, come to the show. You might surprise yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this year is about to be your biggest touring year.
Yeah.
Right?
It's crazy. I'm so excited.
Like
we've been off the road for like 3 months and I'm like, let's go. I'm ready.
Yeah, and it's about to be just crazy. Fucking nuts with festivals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I'm gonna have to pull it up to see all that you're fucking doing, because it's like every day there's like a new thing that you're posting that's like, oh shit, look at what Royal's got coming up. Like this year you're over 200,000 followers now, girl.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fucking wild.
Mm-hmm. On Instagram.
I remember when you were just building that thing.
I know, when I had no following. It's crazy how things grow. Like I said, you put out things that are authentic. If you build it, they will come.
You're at Louder Than Life.
I'm at Louder Than God. Life. I almost passed out.
Yeah.
When I heard. I was like, this is incredible.
That is the spot to be. And I think we're trying to be there this year.
Oh my gosh. Well, please come.
So,
please come
to
the show.
Yes. And we'll be there for your spot. I mean, the other bands that are on here.
Incredible.
Like rock festivals are just different. Like we go to a lot of country festivals, and that's something that like we're very deeply rooted in with Raised Rowdy. Like that's kind of how the whole thing got started. So country festivals are one way, but like rock festivals are just another level of stuff. And the accent, the rock fans are such diehards. And you talk about building a community and a passionate fan base. Playing that Louder Than Life is a good way to do that, sis.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. I've literally been like mentally preparing, because I'm just like, I'm going to be in such awe, because half of my favorite bands are also playing that day. So it's just like crazy that we're going to be there.
So that's a show where you play and then you get done playing and you watch everybody else, or you watch everybody beforehand, because you're just a lover of the music.
Yes. Like if you see me there, come say hi, because I will be there like literally with my eyes glued to the stage. Actually, one of my favorite things is seeing my favorite bands live.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's a different side of things. And I've gotten to see a few people lately that I'm just like in awe.
Like who?
I saw Beartooth.
Ooh.
Yep.
That was Hardy popped up at that.
Yeah,
right?
He did.
That was on that marathon, right?
Yeah. And it was incredible. And just seeing how the crowd reacts. And Marathon is such a great room. Like I've seen a couple bands in there, and seeing Beartooth, and I just saw Wage War there a couple months ago as well. And they had sold it out. So seeing these like fans show up in Nashville for the rock scene, it just like, it sparks like inspiration and me just being like, we could do this one day. And I hope that, you know, knock on wood, that we get to go out and play Marathon and sell it out one day.
I'm sure you will. And you've got, you're going to some of my favorite cities with Dirty Honey.
Oh, I'm so excited.
That's a fun one too, because that's like a different side of rock.
I know.
Like,
I'm so grateful.
What's cool about rock too is it's like all kind of encompassing, where it brings in different sounds. Like even if you're a little bit on the heavier side, you can be with a band that's closer to like Dirty Honey, or you can be a little bit more.
It's great, and everybody's so accepting of each other. And like I think we kind of lift each other up. instead of, you know, the latter, which is, I'm so glad that the community in the rock space has just been so like, hey, we love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Even if like our sounds are a little bit different, there's room for everybody. And that's what I've been trying to say in country for a very long time, is that there is room for everyone.
Yes.
There is no need for competition.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it does kind of happen in the country space.
It's starting to be a little bit different.
I hope so.
I really hope so. I think over... Because, yeah, when I had first gotten to town and, like, we had first met, it was definitely a lot of that.
Yes.
I think COVID changed a lot of things.
I agree.
And I think that the genre blending has just, it's become accepted because you have to accept it. It's fucking here.
It's here and it's here to stay.
Yeah.
But also social media has changed everything.
Yes.
So that's why I feel like there's so many different lanes. Like, I think back then it was more so, like, there can only be one who does this. And it's like, now that social media is here, it's like we can hear all the different kinds that are out there. And people are like, well, I love this on this day, but I can also listen to this right after.
Yeah.
You know?
Or if I really like this style, there's a variety of this style.
Exactly.
There can be more than one. Exactly.
There's a lane for every single person out there. You just got to find your people.
Yeah. So in May, Pensacola, one of my favorite cities to go to, shout out to Wild Greg from Wild Greg's down there, the country club. Athens, Georgia, a great college town. Charlottesville, Virginia. Pittsburgh, the birthplace of Ray's Rowdy.
Yes.
That's fucking cool. And then, oh, Flint, Michigan. Is that the machine shop?
Yeah, it is.
Have you been there before?
No, I haven't. I'm so excited. So,
and that one's going to be really cool for you, too, because that is a place where Canadians come to shows. A lot of Canadians go to those shows in Flint. A lot of Ontario comes down.
My whole family's going to come down, actually.
That room, it feels like when you walk into that room that you're going to sit down and get a tattoo.
I love it. Let's do it.
It's like a tattoo shop kind
of
thing.
No way.
Yeah, like it feels like that kind of vibe. Like it feels like a tattoo shop. Like it's a smaller, intimate room.
I love that.
But it rocks so
really. Who did you see there?
I was there when I was on tour with Muscadine. We did a Muscadine Bloodline show there. And that was even like, and that was before Muscadine had like the Me on You and kind of this rebirth that they've had recently with their sound post-COVID. This was pre-COVID when a lot of it was like they had Shut Your Mouth, which was a heavier song for them.
Yeah.
But most of their stuff was like the harmony, the love songs, you know?
Yes, Put Me
in My Place, Porch Swing Angel, which is great. Love those
incredible songs.
But the crowd was even like wild for that.
Really?
So you go in there and rock it. And there's a sandwich shop. I don't know if it's still there. This was pre-COVID when I was there. Cheesesteak sandwiches. I forget the name of it. And they say don't drink the water in Flint. Like Flint had all those issues with the water.
Noted.
The cheesesteak sandwich was fucking so good.
All right, and I'm gonna confirm. I'm gonna confirm in May if it's still there.
Please do. It's right next
door. And I'm gonna get one.
Yes, please do. Yeah.
That's our last stop on that leg of the tour.
Yeah, May 16th.
Yeah, and then we're headed back to Nashville.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It's just so crazy. Yeah, like, I'm so excited.
You're literally getting to, like you said, like live out your dream. I know. This is what you moved to town. This is what you, when you embarked on the journey from the homeland to here.
Yeah.
You wanted to be doing this stuff and you've had, it's waves of like ups and downs.
Absolutely.
How do you keep it going? Like how do, like think about the places where you were when you're playing that gig downtown.
Yes.
During dead season and you're trying to figure it out and you don't have streams yet, like how'd you keep yourself going mentally?
I think it is really tough and no one really talks about how tough it is, because I don't think it's hard to show people, you know, the journey, because everyone's journey is so different.
But
I think that like social media was kind of the first, so when TikTok hit, I had no idea how to use that app. And
I still don't. Personally, I'm late on the train.
It's okay. I'll tell you. I'll tell you everything that I know. But I think it was just like, if you take the time to learn something, even if it's new, it will trial and error, right? Like there were a lot of people are like, well, you've had a lot of viral stuff, but I'm like, yeah, but 90% of what I post doesn't go viral. It, you know, you can stay consistent and that's kind of where I'm at right now. But at first, like, oh my goodness, my views were, I get like 100 views. And at that time, you're like, oh, 100 views, that's amazing. Like,
cool.
That's a lot of people. And then you're like, oh, well, this thing is a free marketing tool. Same with Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels. I've heard Snapchat is back in the mix. I'm not on there, but.
I'm not either.
Because it's such a different app.
Yes, yeah.
But I've heard that it's really grown and it's a very good place now. But for creators. But learning how to use those tools at the time, like I was broke. And when TikTok hit, it was mid-pandemic. I was kind of putting it off. I was like, you know, we're not really sure about TikTok. And then I started to see my friends kind of do really well. And I was like, you know what? I have moved countries to be able to do this. I am not going to let an app dictate if I get my music in front of people or if I don't.
Yeah.
So I started giving it my all. And I would make so many videos and some would go and some wouldn't. 90% wouldn't. Just so everybody knows out there, like, if you post consistently, it will happen. If your content, like, you know, quality over quantity is always kind of my thing. Go in, make 10 videos, choose the best three and post them. You know, I tell everyone, I'm just like, don't quit doing it. Just continue on and keep on doing it. Because at the end of the day, like, what are you going to lose?
Yeah.
Nothing. You're just going to lose, you know. Trying to go viral, I guess. But like even viral isn't viral anymore, which is crazy.
Yeah, right?
Viral used to be a million. You'd be like, oh, I went viral. And now it's like, oh, if you don't have 20 million on one video, it's not viral. So I don't really know. But all I say is like a million people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
You could fill stadiums with that many people, more than one stadium.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you can go out there and make the videos, just do it and post them, because there are people out there looking for your kind of music or whatever you create. If you write books or, you know, do podcasts.
Yeah.
Like somebody out there is looking for what you're kind of doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a great way to consumer.
It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. It's just, it's fun. It should be fun. And once it becomes not fun, I think is when people get exhausted and are like, why am I not going viral on every video? And it's just like, that's not realistic.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, give it grace. Give yourself time. Like it took me a long time to build my following. And I don't take it for granted. I think that the hard work put into building it is a huge, you know, it's rewarding at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're building.
You're building your empire.
Yeah, building.
building and your every empire. Fan matters. You know, like even though we're talking about like, oh, a million people saw this video. It's like a million individual people. In their homes, on their phone, like behind their screen, saw your video and either love it or hate it. And if they hate it, then let them. And if they love it, like, you know, bring them in and be like, hey, we play shows as well. I'd love to have you out to a show. So every single fan is so important to me. And I do a free meet and greet at every show.
Yes.
So I sit there and after the show, you can always find me at the merch booth. It's one of my favorite times because I get to chat with the people out there that the music impacts.
Yeah. Yeah, who's is there one like meet and greet experience that stands out? Because I used to have to be around those because I was a merch guy and then I was a tour manager with Trey and
there's
meet and greets after the Dick Down Dallas tour was a little bit of a different kind of meet. It was a little wild.
I bet it was wild.
It was wild and I was the one with the cell with people's phones taking the photos and all of that. But like, is there one that stands out for you like that you've done?
You know,
like a meet and greet experience.
Every single show, we have a lot of people come up and chat about how much the music has helped them and saved them in different ways. And the fact that they come up and are so vulnerable with me with their stories, like I can't even name just one because the amount of times that I leave like speechless is more times than not because these people are sharing their stories being like, you know what, I struggle too with my mental health and I don't tell a lot of people that, but like thank you for making music. And it's just like that's the most special. That's why I do it. I do it to also heal myself, but what they don't know is their stories and how vulnerable they're being also like saves me in a way.
Yeah, so makes you feel not alone.
Yeah, and the community, you know, and I'm just like, it's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to go out there and be like, you know what, I'm having a bad day. And you call, I always tell people, like, if you have a friend, like, who's struggling, like, go and spend the afternoon with them and just have coffee and chat. Because, like, that could save a life.
Yeah, it can mean the world.
It can mean the world.
And I think it goes back again to social media where people are getting to, like they feel as close to you as your closest friends in Nashville because
absolutely.
They're following along with what you're doing. And
it's so amazing.
You're bringing so much joy and realness into their life. Like it's important.
It's been really special. The meet and greets, like I said, are my favorite part of all of this. Cause I just finally get to see the faces and, you know, give the hugs, shake the hands, like of the people who are out there just loving the music and relating.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's really freaking cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So as far as this year, in terms of like new music and all of that, because you now have got yourself a fucking record deal.
Yes.
And not even in Nashville, in Los Angeles.
I know.
Like,
in LA.
A big fucking record deal.
It's crazy.
From, like we said, a lot's changed over the past few years. What was that process like, and what's it like having a team, not just like a group of guys that you're playing down on Broadway with, and you're saying, hey, we got this gig, or hey, Hunter, let's go do this wedding. Like, having a team that is helping with the booking, helping with the management, helping with getting the music out, collaborating with you on ideas.
It's been awesome. Like, honestly,
nuts.
The first time that I met with Brett and Sue at Epitaph, I was like, this is my family. These are people who understand what I'm trying to do and where I want to go. And we're like, what are your wildest dreams? And I was like, you know, X, Y, and Z. And they don't make me feel like those are too big. They're like, all right, let's go ahead and get it. And I think that's really, really special, because I'm a workaholic. And I have been, you know, when you self-manage, self-book.
Yeah, you've been that way.
Self-represent.
Been that way since I've met you.
Yeah,
that
like
6 years ago.
Exactly. Like, I think you want it. You don't want any team. You want the team that'll help you get not even to a finish line, because I don't think that this has a finish line. This is like the rest of my life. Like, there's no end goal. This is like, we are going to do this journey until the day I die.
Yeah.
And when I first met with Brett and Sue, I just was like, holy cow, they understand me as an artist.
Was that meeting in LA? Was that out here?
We zoomed for the first call, and immediately upon meeting Brett, I was like, holy, he understands and he sees me. And I was like, this is, you know, what I want to do. And, you know, we met with a few other people as well, but like, no one came close to that feeling with them at Epitaph.
Yeah. What's the feeling like of just getting offers? Just the idea of
it's cool.
From being in the trenches like you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that initial moment being like, oh shit, like there's labels wanting to work with me.
It's really cool. And I think that like, meeting with people who are interested in what you're doing is awesome. But you have to think back to like, who are the best people and the best fit to go where we want to go.
Yeah.
And who understand you as an artist. And like, if anyone out there is listening, don't sign any deal. Sign the deal that will help you get where you want to go. And build the empire that you want to, you know, the legacy you want to leave behind. And I can confidently say from the first 5 minutes of our meeting, I was like, these are my people.
Hell yeah.
And I, you know, I made the right call. They have been incredible.
Yeah.
My manager, Wayne, he's over at Fly South. Incredible company as well. And Wayne has just been, you know, my rock in all of this. And he has been so great at, you know, bringing on someone. And it's hard to bring on someone when you've like managed yourself for so long. And
yeah.
And he has been so amazing to work with. And then UTA, we brought UTA in.
Great agency.
I know, they're incredible. We have such a great team at UTA. And it's just been so cool to be like, all right, now we have like, in my opinion, like the greatest team that I could have ever had. All in one room, and we're just like, all right, like what's next? What are we doing? And it's so cool just to have such support from amazing companies in general. Like, it's just awesome.
Yeah. What's the radio stuff been like?
Radios? It's
like, what the fuck?
I know. What the fuck? What the fuck? You know, if you had told me a couple years ago that I would have my first top 40 at rock radio, I would have been like, really? That's really? Like, and I feel like it just all happened. And it's just been such a cool feeling to be like, people out there are listening to the music on the radio in their hometowns.
They're getting introduced to you.
Yes, like through spins of just like, and Octane was a huge Sirius XM.
That's a channel keep on, Octane and Turbo.
I love it.
I pay homage to the Butt Rock, like Butt Rock's been over here. We love Turbo, and we love Turbo, but Octane was like what I grew up listening to.
They're incredible.
My dad and stuff. Like, I love like the crew that's there. Like, that's what, that, who are the DJs over there?
Jose,
Katie Babs,
Shannon Guns.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
They've been incredible.
Yeah, just badass people that know what they're doing with rock. So if they're talking about you, and if they're playing your music,
crazy.
That's a big approval from the rock
when
world.
I found out that 6 Feet was going to be on Test Drive, I was like, oh my goodness, this is like the real deal. This is what, you know, many bands who I look up to like have gotten their start on Test Drive.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to be like, Thanksgiving Day, we had the whole house listening to Octane because Jose was doing Test Drive and it was on there. And I was like, holy cow, this is like what I've dreamed of. This is on my bucket list, you know, to be played on Octane. And then we got added to Rotation, which is amazing. Thank you, Vinny, at, at Octane for adding me. I appreciate it so much. But yeah, it's been a wild journey. And to see the song go up the charts has been just so surreal. This is my dream. And I feel like I'm dreaming.
Yeah, where's it sitting at now?
I think it's at 37 right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's moving.
Yeah.
Moving upward, mm-hmm. and now the hope is you get out there and you play all these shows and more people just fall in love with you and mm-hmm. what you're doing. And I think you're going back to like the Broadway stuff, like being in the trenches. There's folks that have that viral moment.
Yes.
But haven't played a show yet. And they've figured it out. And there's guys and girls, a lot of it in country music and in pop that have done it. And they've mm-hmm. since figured it out. And they're doing arenas now and doing what they're doing. But it took them that growing pain of being like, mm-hmm. oh, shit, I'm not just singing to my phone. I'm singing to people.
Yeah.
You went from singing to people.
singing every day.
Singing to people. Singing every day. Like, putting your vocal cords mm-hmm. through as big of a workout, marathons, every doubles, triples.
For people who don't know, you play 4-hour gigs.
No breaks.
No breaks. Literally 4 hours. You sit there with your guitar or full band, whatever you're doing down there, and you literally do not get a break. And sometimes I play doubles, so 8 hours of singing.
Yeah.
It's wild. Sorry to cut you off.
No, no,
for
you're
those
good.
Who don't
no,
realize.
No, it's a fucking grind. There's a lot of stuff with Broadway people don't know about and how hard it really is.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and you were doing that on the regular. Yeah. Like you were heavy on that circuit. So now going out and opening for mm-hmm. some of your favorite bands, playing a 30 to 45, sometimes doing your own headlining stuff, 60-minute, 75-minute, whatever you're doing, that's easy.
It is easy. It's a different beast.
It's a different thing.
Yes.
But it's playing your own songs.
It's crazy.
Throwing covers in there where you want to, but
not
having somebody come up to you and be
with
like...
$20 being like, play... Freebird right now.
Play Freebird and be like, nope, that's gonna be 100. But or like
oh,
saying
telling
you to play like, and it's not even that they're asking you, they're telling you down there with the money. So now mm-hmm. to be able to do your own thing,
it's crazy.
Make money doing it, be able to take care of your guys
for sure.
It be your own shit. And you get to open for your favorite bands.
I know. I almost like still get like a little like I get nervous in a different way than downtown, right? It's a different thing. I always love to see like New Hampshire. We played up there last.
I love New Hampshire. What room were you in?
Wally's.
Oh fuck yeah!
Holy shit!
I like Wally's.
Shit.
My dad actually lives up there.
Really?
He lives in Hampton Beach.
Well, when we're back.
When you guys are back, because he's into the rock stuff too. So he would
it was so surreal to hear people be like, "Bring her out! Bring her out!" My guitarist Brian was like, "They're like chanting that they want you to." to come out and sing. And I was like, really? I'm like sitting down by the van, just like getting ready for the show. You know, I always like to have a few minutes of downtime before I hit the stage. Cause I feel like that's when my like alter ego, you know, comes out. Like your stage performance has to be like, so, and they were packed like guardrail to guardrail. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, I stopped the show and I was like, hold on. I was like, can we take a photo? Because this is like a moment I never want to forget.
I want to remember this.
I know. Yeah. It was so crazy. And like seeing all the people. And I was like, we had the longest meet and greet line that Wally's has ever had.
Wow.
After the show. And everybody waited. And I'll sit there till the last person has gone through and we've signed and they've gotten their merch and all of that. But it's been so crazy.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a different beast playing these shows that are completely my own versus singing other people's songs.
Yeah.
Just a little bit different. You know, I'm playing at 9 p.m. now, whereas like I was playing at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, on Broadway, which is so funny. Everybody doesn't realize that I played the morning shift because it's so much fun and you get to meet people and sing songs and still do a little bit of the heavier stuff, but like, you know, not nighttime on Broadway because that's like an insane.
That's a whole different
thing. It's a whole other thing.
So when you're not doing music stuff, what are you doing with your life?
Well,
like what do you enjoy doing?
I golf a lot.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot for a second. I golf a lot.
I really enjoy movies. So if there's a new movie, like I like to go to the theater and like actually take it in. I'm a big scary movie fan.
You would be.
I know.
You would be. I can't do the scary movie shit.
You can't?
I can't. Luckily my girlfriend can't either. So okay. It's like I'm safe with that. Her little girl though loves the scary shit.
See, I love it. I think it's like, I don't know.
I can't do it personally.
Does it like you can't sleep or something?
Yeah, there's like a ghost thing. Like I'll get freaked the fuck out.
No, that's my favorite. That's like my bread and butter. You love like
Insidious. And
oh my God, that's my favorite one.
Oh jeez.
Insidious 1 and 2 are the greatest scary movie that has ever been made. Quote.
I don't know. I don't even, the first one, I remember watching, I think it was called like The Village or something back in the day.
Yeah.
Like where there's like the weird, like almost
the X's
like
on the door kind of thing.
It's like almost like a Muppet looking thing. And
a Muppet.
And I saw, I'm scared of a fucking Muppet. Look at me.
See, if you think about it like that though, like maybe it won't scare you though.
I get that.
I'm not like true crime, I guess. I'm more of like paranormal. That's kind of where my love lies. And like Ed and Lorraine Warren were like the biggest ghost hunters of our, you know. Yeah.
So do you watch Ghost Adventures and all that stuff?
No, I don't have TV. Do you have TV?
You don't have.
Is that where like you watch?
I have streaming and stuff.
Oh, is it on there? See,
like, I watch on like on TV. I don't have cable. Nobody has cable. We don't have cable anymore. Who the fuck's got cable?
I kind of wish that I did though, because I kind of miss like being able to like, oh, there's a commercial. All right, I'm gonna like go up and do something and then come back.
Yeah, now you have to wait for the episode, or you have to physically pause it.
No, seriously, it's so annoying to have to physically pause something, isn't it? No, but like I don't know. I just kind of miss the nostalgia of like getting home after school and something was just on, so you watched
it.
You know?
What was on Canadian TV right after school?
Oh gosh, what did I used to watch?
I know Trailer Park Boys was in late night.
I was not allowed to watch Trailer Park Boys until like I was old, probably 18.
Yeah, like I know that's like a later.
My parents were like, no. Yeah, I don't know. I was watching like One Tree Hill and like The OC and Gene Simmons, Family Jewels.
Ooh,
I remember when that one was on.
All right.
A&E. I think that was on A&E.
Yeah.
Or like TBS. We had TBS.
We had a lot of the same channels then.
Yes. And then obviously like the Hannah Montana
shows
and, you know, all of those. I kind of watched Disney
for
a while. I loved High School Musical. I was a huge High School Musical fan. But I loved musical theater growing up. So like I didn't know that you could like go and be a songwriter. I feel like no one knows that until they like are older and are like, you could actually like write songs for a living. But I really wanted to be in musical theater in some capacity. Yeah. So like I went to college for a year, maybe a year. I dropped out. But
at what school?
Ottawa U.
Ottawa U.
Yep. I went for a very, very brief time
in
my life.
Did you give it hell though? Did you get your money's worth? Did you have some fun?
Hell no. I feel like I went and was like, school's not for me. Yeah. And that's okay. You know, if school's not for you, like that's totally okay.
I mean, did you like give it hell? Like, did you get like the college experience of like the parties and stuff? I don't know what Canadian colleges
are
like.
No. I went to school for musical theater. And then I was just like, I didn't like my program. It just wasn't the same as like high school theater, I guess, that I had been doing. And I just was like, I really want to sing, but I don't know. No one, you know, I'm from a really small town. Like, I didn't know kind of how to become a singer.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just go to college. It got me out of my small town. I wanted to go to college. Like I wanted that experience because I felt like everyone else was kind of doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did, because I ended up staying in Ottawa and I bartended, and I feel like I got the party scene out then.
Ah, there you go.
And I was bartending at 19, and then until I was 21, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna pack my car and I'm gonna go to Nashville and I'm just gonna see what's up. You know, how to do this. And that's when I figured out how to get my visa and started just, you know, that was the journey.
The process.
Yeah. And the process is long. If you come from another country, it's not easy. So you got to figure out how to do
that's it. That's something that we've gotten to know a lot with Raised Rowdy.
Yes.
Because we have tapped very much into like Canadians.
Yeah.
The Canadian. I said, I know you're more geared toward the rock side now, but you get the Canadian country thing because you're still in that world. You're writing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like once you're in it, you're always in it.
Yeah.
But, like, I've been telling people, Nikki T has too, like, Canadian country right now is like what Texas country was kind of doing. Like, it's this frontier where there's so many guys and girls coming to town.
Yes.
There's such a scene with the big festivals that are in Canada. Like, it just seems
like Nickelback is like back.
Nickelback.
And I love it. Butt they rock. Never went anywhere.
Butt rock.
I need to say this. They never went anywhere. And those of us who loved Nickelback always have loved Nickelback.
Yes.
Yeah. But like seeing like Bridgestone sold out.
Oh, that was that was one of my favorite. I got to see Nickelback. I've seen them three times in the past year.
Did you just see them for the...
I just saw
them. Are we allowed to talk about that, or is that still under wraps?
Yeah, they've teased it.
I didn't get to go to that, but I was like, oh, I wish I could
have went. It was cool. Fun. Yeah, it was cool. They nailed everything in like one take each, which was really cool.
Because,
I mean, I've talked about it on here before. Like, the guys that brought along Nickelback brought along butt rock to bro country to now you've got Hardy who's doing like the mix of both.
Yes.
So it was a natural thing. But there's so much talent like in Canada, and it's such a scene that gets like slept on for all music. And there's many rock bands.
Except pop. I feel like pop, like Justin Bieber, Drake, The Weeknd.
Yeah, you do have a lot of that.
There's a lot of pop that is like still very much. But I feel like I'm terrible because I don't, you know, I don't really know who's up and coming in the country scene there right now, but I do feel like rock has always been a very big thing in Canada.
Yeah.
Because Nickelback was huge. And then you have like Billy Talent and like all these other artists that were so incredible.
Theory of a Dead Man.
Yes. Yeah.
Default.
Oh my God. There's so
three
days. So
Three
many.
Days Grace is Canadian, right? Yeah. There's a lot of. There's always been like this.
Avril
rock
Lavigne.
Kind of thing. Yep. Avril's another big one. Yep.
It's crazy. Sum 41, I'm pretty sure, is from there too. If that might be wrong. Someone fact check me on that. I think they are because my first concert was Sum 41 and Simple Plan.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. How old were you at that?
10 years old.
I was going to say you had to be like a baby.
Yeah. And I literally would wear my hat sideways. I remember I got all their merch and I wore it to school the next day because I was like, I went and saw Simple Plan last night and it was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Stratford, which is the hometown of Justin Bieber.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's very, very weird. Very small. Very small town.
That's awesome, though.
But it was incredible. And then I got to see Billy Talent. And I was like, that was the moment that I was like, I want to go out on that stage and sing. Like, and they did so well. I think they were at like Budweiser Gardens in London that time. But I was young when I got to go see them. But I'm so glad I did.
Yeah, the first and then growing up, I'm guessing you went to a lot of shows just as a music fan, or were you so busy doing the theater stuff and doing what you were doing at that time?
Yeah, I kind of, so like if I really wanted to go, like my parents would take me, but Toronto's a 2-hour drive. And like I said, like my parents worked during the day, like when they could, they absolutely took me, but it wasn't like we were in a place where we could go to every single concert. And I feel like at that time I was more like, you know, I was singing a lot. I was in a Kings of Leon band and we just sang covers of Kings of Leon. It was all girl band. And then I was, you know, I did the Hannah Montana stuff, which kind of took up a lot of my time as well. So I would tour, you know, doing that stuff. So I kind of felt like I got to go see a lot of concerts, but I was definitely on the road and doing my own thing then as well. So, but I love seeing people live. I think it's the best part of it.
Yeah, the festival circuit's going to treat you very well.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I can't wait. It's going to be so dope.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make it to Louder Than Life
now. You have to.
Because I didn't go last year. Nikki T went last year.
Did he love it?
He said it was awesome. It's just such a different vibe from, like, the country festivals.
Yeah.
Because we do a lot of those.
Right.
And it's like... No, this rock festival, this is there was a guy that looked at Nikki T and was like, "Your ink's too fresh, you're a poser." Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, like it's like there's some hardcore shit. Like
there is.
Like he saw Limp Bizkit there and like he was like the pit for Limp Bizkit was just stupid. Like the mosh pit stuff was just fucking crazy.
Oh my gosh. But like what an experience to go and do
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Like I haven't really done a ton of that. So that's why
have you moshed yet?
I have, I got brought to it was Issues. Is that considered moshing? The band Issues?
Sure.
And like All Time Low and that
era. Yeah,
stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So I got brought to one of those and then I went to a Godsmack show once.
Oh my gosh.
Godsmack was cool.
Oh, I bet you. That was cool. I bet you. That's great. So one of my goals this year is to crowd surf at one of my own shows.
Ooh.
So we're going to keep that on the radar. I'd like to crowd surf at least once this year.
I think it can happen.
I
think it can definitely happen. Is there a fear that you're going to jump off the crowd surf and they're not going to catch you? And you're just going to go boom?
I hope not. I'm knocking on wood again.
I think the fans are
hopefully
into
they
enough.
Raise me up.
I think that culture will raise you up.
Like, I hope so.
I don't think they drop people.
I saw so many people at the Beartooth concert, like coming from the back, and they go all the way to the front, and then they get
and
off.
Then and they
go
have
to
go all the way back. Yeah.
But I'm like,
it's a commitment
to do it once. Like, I think it would be so much fun. I didn't see anyone drop that night.
Yeah, like they seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And like Marathon is so cool because they have like a Daddy's Dogs in there. I'm like, this is genius.
Yes.
So cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
I actually had Big Daddy.
You did?
On the pod. That episode's
oh my God,
soon.
Really? Okay, I'll check
Big
it out.
Daddy, because he used to tour in the rock world.
I didn't know that.
He was a tour manager
oh
in Seattle.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
He
well,
used to be out with like L. King, like a bunch of
oh
different
my
people
goodness.
Like over the years.
That's
as like
crazy.
A road manager and then Daddy's Dogs.
Daddy's Dogs. Well, I salute him because they're so good.
Yeah. What are you? What are some of your favorite spots
to
go and eat at? Yeah.
Here in Nashville.
Yeah. What kind of
There's
food
so
do you
many.
Even like? Like what does a Royal Inn eat?
I love Italian food.
An Italian
I
food.
Have to say. Okay. Amerigo is one of my favorites. A little hidden gem.
Yeah.
But I also really like Hall's Steakhouse.
Oh, Hall's is.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, that's another
level. I love a
steakhouse.
That's
another, Hall's is another level of just good stuff.
It's incredible. And it's so big in there. Yes. If you haven't been around like to the back bar, oh my gosh, it's huge.
Yeah, my girlfriend's from Charleston originally.
Oh, nice.
So
is there one there?
That's where Hall's started.
Oh my
gosh. She's been a Hall's fan for pretty much her whole life and enjoys the finer things in life. So.
Yes.
I haven't been to this Hall's with her, but
you have
like,
to go.
Yeah, well, I know.
Get a rezzo right now.
yeah, because I've been to like we go to like Urban Grub quite a bit, which is a good
which
spot,
is really good,
but it's not Halls.
It's
Halls,
not Halls
is just another level
it,
of good stuff,
and a lot of people like don't know about it yet. I should maybe we should.
No,
we
I feel like
should we gatekeep
because,
this or
no? I don't think it needs to be gatekeeped or gatekept
because everyone should experience it once.
Yeah,
and that's why we shouldn't.
How do you like
it.
Your steak cooked?
I'm like medium rare, depending.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no
How about you?
No steak sauce, right?
Okay, so
you're not a steak. Don't tell me you're a steak sauce person.
No,
well.
So truffle butter has a hold of me.
Yeah,
I love it. Do you not like a sauce or anything on it?
I mean, I
or
like
a butter.
My grandparents were putting like A1 on it.
Oh,
I'm talking
no,
like
no,
the
A1 no.
shit. That's
no,
what I'm
no,
talking
no.
about by sauce.
Oh, I'm talking about like truffle.
Oh no, like truffle
the
butter.
The art of
truffle
butter
and mushrooms and things like that. No, that could go on there for sure.
I agree. I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. Hall's is good.
Yeah.
You get the
Brussels sprouts over there?
Yes. We've definitely had those. Cream spinach. That's something I didn't grow up with that now I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. I love Southern food.
I think I've
really come to love it. So
I do too.
And all the sides, like it's just as important as the main, which like I just feel like where I came from, like it just wasn't like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful to live here.
The fact that like mac and cheese is part of Thanksgiving dinner down here.
I love it. I love it.
It's another world.
What's
of
the green bean casserole? It's one I can't get on. I'm sorry.
The green bean casserole.
Yeah, it's just one I can't. That's like a Southern dish.
I like the southern sweet potatoes are really good.
I could try those. Like with the marshmallow on top.
They put like the pecans in there. Like
oh,
the top, so like
maybe I haven't had
it.
That.
Might have been going to different Southern people.
Maybe.
Well,
I'll try it out, I promise.
Yes, yeah. So what have you got? So this year, we're getting on the road. Mm-hmm. We got more music coming?
We do have more music coming, yes.
Hell yeah.
And I can't wait to share.
Yeah, I was going to say. I know now. See, now it's different.
I know.
Like, now you've got, like, it's a whole different structure of, like, mm-hmm. the level that you're at to where now it's, like, there's a release plan. There's
what
this,
I can say is that it is heavy.
Okay.
And I'm really excited.
Fuck yeah.
And it's going to be cool. And it's going to be really cool. And we're working on a lot of new music. So there will be no shortage there. We're working on a ton of new stuff. And I can't wait to share with the world because it's just a new era. And I'm very excited.
Sick. Well,
so the next one's going to be awesome. I'm really excited
let's
to
go.
Share.
Heavy, heavy, heavy.
Heavy, heavy. It's getting heavier in subject matter too.
Oh, really?
Which is cool. And, obviously, musically, it's getting a little heavier, so I'm really looking forward to sharing what's next.
Let's go. That's fucking awesome. Well, sis, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Proud to call you a friend and watch you do what you're doing. Like, seriously, like,
thinking back
to fucking Frisky Frogs, doing the podcast at the gazebo apartment, sitting on the couch. We had a case of Coors Light for you.
I love that.
That was a fun.
Still drinking them. Yes. Still drinking those.
I'm sure.
By the way.
I'm sure you're still Team Coors.
Absolutely. I'm keeping them in business. I'm pretty sure. So.
Yeah. To see where everything's
sponsor
at.
Me.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, honestly, you're at the point now where you can get that kind of shit. Like, seriously.
Oh well, I do love a good Coors Light.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And
thank
we're
you
happy,
for having
and
me.
We're happy to have you as a part of the Raise Your Rowdy family. Oh. Like, you're somebody that we've watched the whole evolution of. When you were releasing music years ago to what you're doing right now with all the rock stuff. And can't wait to see what the rest of this year and beyond has in store for you. And we're gonna keep calling up the radio stations too,
yes.
Telling all of our people to play 6 Feet.
Please, I would love that.
It's because it's doing its thing and has a lot of leg life. It's
thank
just
you
getting
so much.
Started.
I appreciate you having me on. And like I said, like, we did our first pod back in like 2018.
Yeah, it was so 2018, 2019,
it's
somewhere
just,
in there.
It's so cool to be able to sit here, like, you know, as friends as well, and just be like, what the fuck has happened in the last, you know, six
years? We've survived the 4th of July island together.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And poor Alex Maxwell cut his fucking hand open.
I forgot about that.
Folks were running out of cigarettes and eating mushrooms instead.
I know, not me.
Not me either. I stayed away.
I actually think I left before that happened.
Yeah,
that because was... I left. I went out for the day and then someone just, like, gave me a ride back.
Yeah, the ride back to shore at night was a little, was a little dicey.
We made it.
Yeah, I mean, late night, like, I got out of there because it was wild.
It was like a real redneck 4th of July, and
yeah,
it was so cool, and it's so cool to have those memories, and especially together, just, you know, having a cigar on the boat.
Oh, yes! Yes! We did have a cigar on the boat.
Yes. Yes, we did. So funny. But yeah, I appreciate you having me so much, and Raise Rowdy's a family to me, so I truly thank you for having me on here and chatting, and I love that we...
Butt Ruxpin. This is Butt Ruxpin.
Butt Ruxpin.
So it's Teddy Ruxpin.
Yes.
So,
say that five times.
Well, Teddy Ruxpin.
Times.
Teddy Ruxpin. And you know what's really funny, too? So on his back, he's got a... he's got like a little tape thing. So these were toys where you would put a tape in it and it would play the music.
Oh, that's
it doesn't
sick.
Work anymore.
What's in there?
Oh, did I just break it? Oh no. Did I just break Butt Ruxpin? Oh, Nikki T's gonna kill me. I don't
know. No
think
one
this
tell
works.
Nikki T this,
this
just
works.
Happened.
as he watches it happen. We gotta like figure out the tape thing.
Oh my god, this is so nostalgic though.
It's Creed, Human Clay.
I love this. Creed? And he's repping it.
Oh
as
yeah,
well.
He's repping the beanie.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is it's got the it plays a tape.
I love this.
Nikki found it out of Goodwill.
Hey,
for, like,
this used
$5.
To happen at VHS players like all the time.
Yeah, I know. We'll figure out a way to fix it. I'm sure Brian Fraser has another Creed tape. We can definitely find one. Brian,
yes, absolutely. He's got no shortage.
Brian runs our Butt Rock Night account. So yeah, shout out to Butt Ruxpin. We had to break him in.
And I got to
table.
Play Butt Rock Night.
You did?
Yeah. And that was so much fun. We played Flyleaf.
Yes.
Yes.
Was it fully?
Yeah, we did Fully Alive.
Yes.
Yes. I had to learn. I love that song, but I had to really, really learn it for that.
Yeah, Butt Rock Nights, don't joke.
I loved it.
We fucking get after it.
I loved it. We're gonna do another one, and I'm gonna come back and sing a different Flyleaf song.
All right.
For
perfect.
The next one,
all right.
Okay?
We have it on video.
We have it on video.
Royal is coming and singing at Butt Rock Night.
Absolutely.
Maybe by having you play, we'll get the Lakeview guys.
Oh,
get there.
Please.
Maybe we'll get them to do.
Bring the whole fam.
Maybe we'll get them to do Breaking Benjamin in honor of that tour.
We should. We'll talk.
Yes, we will for
all
sure.
Right.
But where can people go to find you on everything if they're not following you?
So
already?
Royal Lynn Music across the board, or Royal Lynn if you want to go to Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream your music, and please come to a show. I would love to have y'all out. So if you're listening to this podcast, this is your invitation from me directly to come to a show this year because I'm really excited.
Awesome. Y'all be sure to check out our girl, Miss Royal Lynn. A lot of cool things. Been an amazing journey for her, and she's just freaking getting started. Lots of cool things coming for the rest of this year. New music on the horizon. 6 Feet Deep at Rock Radio right now. If you're a Rock Radio listener like myself, get onto your station and tell them to play the hell out of it. And be on the lookout. She's going to be out on tour with Dirty Honey and going to be playing a number of festivals, including Louder Than Life. So for my girl Royal Lynn, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
Been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve. They usually just make